What is today?
Portland City Council will come to order back from recess. Today is Wednesday, May 6th. This is the 2 p.m. session of the Portland City Council. We have one time certain agenda item. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Adams?
Here. And before we read the title for the time certain, which is Council Calendar Item 578, I'd like to recognize Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. I move that we have a council hearing in the evening on May 20th for the purpose of having the Vision into Action report and also a hearing on the wireless communications in the right-of-way.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that the City Council hold a hearing as described by Commissioner Fritz. Is there any council discussion on this issue?
Is that a Wednesday night?
Yes, and it's, I believe, on everybody's calendar.
Is there anyone in the room that would like to testify to this matter? Hearing no one seeking to testify, no additional council discussion. Carla, can you please call the roll on this motion?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Motion is approved. Can you please read the title for non-emergency ordinance, time certain, council calendar item 578?
Update and revise the private-for-hire transportation regulations to better reflect the industry and the regulatory role of the city.
Thank you, Carla. This is an issue that was started under Mayor Potter in December of 2008. It is an effort to improve the safety for our residents and guests in the city of Portland, in an effort to reorganize and streamline the city's code for clarity. There was contradictory language in the existing code. This project seeks to positively address the growth in the private for hire industry to include limousines and pedicabs. With limousines, I recognize that the limousine representatives would prefer to have their own separate code for these types of services and vehicles, but the project believes it's important to recognize the private for hire industry as a whole and the impact that one vehicle type or business model has on another. In terms of the pedicabs, which are a great addition to the Portland scene, I appreciate on behalf of staff the willingness of the board and the staff to work on compromises. And on both of these issues, they are currently not regulated in the city's code. And therefore, there are not safety regulations in the city's code. So I'd like to thank the Private for Hire Board of Review for all their efforts and patience in getting here today. Eight meetings and public meetings and countless other meetings have been completed in order to get to where we are today. There are, as you will hear from Director Clovertons, there are still issues that need to be worked on, polished, and perfected. But it is staff's advice that we move forward in the next couple of weeks with the changes and improvements to the code and put the stake in the ground, and then over the next year continue to polish and perfect the code as it relates to private for hire industry. And with that, I'll turn it over to Director Sue Clovertons.
So, Mayor Adams, before we start, I do have an amendment that I think might be appropriate to move for the purpose of discussion so it can be part of the broader discussion.
Go ahead.
So I've worked with you, Mayor Adams, with the Bureau of Licenses, and relied on my own experience as the commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Revenue when I had that responsibility to oversee the licensing of taxicabs and limousines and the attendant problems. I attended quite a number of taxicab meetings with the cab companies and drivers, and had spent enough time at it that we actually were taking a very specific enforcement approach to deal with some of the issues of cabs and versus limousines, including us having hired people who were doing kind of undercover work, if you will, to try to hold folks accountable. So based on my discussions with the Bureau of Licenses with you, Mayor Adams, and my own experience, I'm proposing this amendment that I would like to move for purposes of discussion that, in essence, would make it clearer that not only are limousines intended to behave as limousines, but that for hotels that are involved in inappropriately allowing limousines to be used when a cab is supposed to be used, the hotel itself, not just the person that's working for the hotel, will be held liable for up to a $500 per occurrence fine per instance.
And the just so that I understand it, because the legal language is always legal language, that the exception to that would be that if the hotel has a an ongoing contract relationship with limousine service. Is that what I understand the sub D, C and D to mean, or D to mean?
You mean G?
Let's see, 16.40.460D12345.
Well, what I'm going to ask Sue if she can explain.
I believe, Mayor Adams, what you are, Sue Klobertanz, Director of the Revenue Bureau, Mayor Adams, what you're referring to is item G, which is the meat of the amendment, and the very last line says this subsection does not apply if the limousine or executive sedan service has complied with the conditions found in subsections C and D there. You are correct. That refers back to the ability of an executive sedan, town car, or limousine to have a contract with a hotel that is approved by, has certain conditions approved by the city. And if they have that, then the hotel could immediately put a guest into a town car without the 60-minute reservation. So, yes, you are correct that, that this language allows for that.
But there's that accountability between the company, town car company, and the hotel.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Any other?
I'd move this amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there any additional discussion on the amendment? Anyone wishes? Yes.
We're going to take testimony.
We are. This is just the amendment. Do you want to? I can take testimony on the amendment. Yes.
Well, I guess I'd like to hear testimony on.
Yeah. So I was seconding for the purpose of discussion, which I understood was Commissioner Lennon's intent. So could we?
I think we'll take testimony on the entire package as amended, if
it
that's
now
all.
Before us, though, the
amendment.
So we're just moving to amend it, but we could take it off again if enough people don't
vote it down.
Don't like that.
The amendment's what we're discussing at this point, unless you voted into the ordinance, then you vote the, then you discuss the whole thing. But if we want to just take testimony on this, we can do that too.
What do you prefer?
Well, I guess I was thinking more of this was like a substitute, so we'd take testimony on it but and then vote.
Okay.
I guess I want to hear more about thoughts on the amendment.
So
public testimony.
So early on, we talked about this being a substitute. Ordinance, does this accomplish that?
Commissioner Leonard, and I'll have to defer to legal, but I think it meets the requirements of an amendment because you're bringing it to the floor now rather than having it circulated earlier.
And I'm fine. I just want to have public
discussion
testimony before I vote on the amendment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess the question I have is, and maybe you want to come on up. The question I have, does this, in essence, become the item we're discussing in total?
Yes, Commissioner. Okay. And I noticed that the ordinance as filed
does not include the
language. There's a little bit more involved in this section D that I see that's been added besides just what's highlighted in red. I think it would be maybe cleanest if we withdrew this motion for the amendment, took the testimony on the entire package, and then once you've heard everything, if you want to decide to make that amendment, that might be cleaner.
That sounds good. I'll withdraw that with the permission of my second.
Agree.
Yeah. So for the purposes of testimony to council, we'd like you to speak on the proposed amendment and everything else on the table. Director Klobertanz.
All right. I'll see if I can do that, Mayor and Council. Again, Sue Klobertanz, Director of the Revenue Bureau. And as the Mayor indicated, this council item 578 replaces the old Chapter 16.40, which was basically written to be a taxicab regulation. And in talking with people that have been in the industry and around the city for a long time, they indicate to me that the last time there was a major code rewrite for this was in the early 90s. As you might imagine, the industry has changed some since then. And so what we're putting before you is a new Chapter 16.40 for the private for hire industry. As the mayor indicated, this new code recognizes the change in the industry that have occurred in the last years, includes regulation of limousines and pedicabs under the umbrella regulation, recognizing that they are part of the transportation system. It reorganizes and streamlines the code to clarify and eliminate contradictory language that had built up over the year through amendments and private for hire board orders. And most importantly, focuses on safety of both our residents and our visitors to the city by increasing the training of drivers, vehicle requirements, and ability of the city to regulate. Staff, as was mentioned earlier, has been meeting with both the private for hire board, the company standing committees, the driver standing committees, and stakeholders since December in, I believe, 9 different public meetings, in addition to all of the public private for hire board meetings. The notices of the meetings were sent out to our current contact list is approximately 175 firms. And we've worked very hard to include the people who have an interest in including not only the drivers and the companies, but also hotels in multiple meetings. As much as an improvement as this code is, we recognize that it is a work in progress. The ordinance that you would be approving specifically calls out and directs the Revenue Bureau to work with the Private for Hire Board to complete the demand study that is currently underway, to complete the rate and fee study, which is currently underway, to move forward to implement appropriate insurance requirements, brake requirements, and safety inspections for the pedicabs to protect public safety. And we would be working again with the pedicab companies and drivers to reach agreement on what those appropriate conditions might be. We need to determine appropriate driver safety and customer service training for the entire industry, and better define requirements for vehicles operating within the regional context of the city of Portland. So we currently have a number of companies that are based in Vancouver, but may drop off or pick up a client here in the city. Do they need to be regulated? Do they need to be permitted? Do we need to duplicate safety inspections? Those are all questions that we've not completed. And we also want to explore with the Portland Bureau of Transportation short-term parking options for the limousine industry in the central city core. At this point, when you listen to that laundry list of things that we have yet to do, you might ask yourself why we're bringing an incomplete product to you. But in short, the existing code is so unclear and contradictory, has so many holes and left so much to interpretation that the Private for Hire Board unanimously felt that it was important to, as Sam said, put the stake in the ground and move forward from there so that we have something we can understand. We anticipate coming back to the council in a few months with some adjustments based on our continuing outreach, and as we also finalize our administrative rules and incorporate the results of the demand and rate and fee studies that I mentioned. We currently have scheduled 6 more workshops to have stakeholders assist us in writing the administrative rules. So we're looking forward to that and giving also the separate industries, especially the ones that we're now regulating, pedicabs and limousines, special attention to see how these regulations can best serve those industries and protect the public. We have a number of board and industry representatives that want to come today to speak to you, to talk to you about different parts of the proposal. But before I bring them up, I'd like to acknowledge a number of people who are here to represent this effort and acknowledge staff who have worked very, very hard to get where we are today. Patrick Kramer is our regulatory program specialist. Frank Dufay, our regulatory program administrator, he's been our man on the street. I can't say enough good about Shane Abma from the city attorney's office and the countless hours he has spent. And then finally, as a way of introduction to most of you, I'd like to introduce Kathleen Butler, our new regulatory division manager, just new here from Vermont. And while she hasn't been involved in this so far or that much, I'll guarantee you she will be going forward. So now we have...
I just want to note that this was a trade with a player to be named later.
Yes.
Because I just learned that Thomas Bruner has accepted a position with the National Red Cross in Vermont.
Oh,
so now that completes,
there you go.
We
have three board members that I would like to call up, and then three industry representatives. If they would come up three at a time. First, I would ask Butch Miller, John Putnam, and Doug Brown to come up, followed by Casey Mardell, Greg Weber, and Steve Entler. And then we can come back and answer questions either before or after public testimony. So thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council.
Thank you.
We're glad you're here. You just have to give us your first and last name. And you'll have about 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the Council. My name is Doug Rowan. I'm the owner of Point to Point Transportation. I represent the executive sedan side of the LPT companies. I serve as chairman of the company standing committee and sit on the board of review. I started in the limo industry back in 1983 as a driver. Worked my way up the ladder to an owner of several luxury limousine companies in the local area. I was also one of the pioneers in the town car business 14 years ago and have since built one of the most respected executive sedan companies in the Portland metro area. In addition, I'm the founder of a domestic and global limousine search engine, as well as a member of the National Limousine Association and recently a nominee of the National Limousine Board of Directors. I come before the council, and I support the proposed code changes to 1640. It has been a long time coming. The first that I can remember anything has ever been done at all. In the early stages of sedan service, it was rumored that the sedan companies and taxi cab companies argued extensively about territories, even got a little physical on several occasions. Those days have gone, and we've grown up. However, we still argue with them on a friendly term. The great purpose of this code is to update the current regulations, bring them current with the local times and the national averages, making companies and the industry accountable. Accountable for their actions, whether they're right or wrong. Create a safe environment for the local patrons and visitors who come visit our area. Assist in enforcing the downtown corridor, getting rid of or with strict enforcement of the non-compliant, non-conforming town cars that troll the major hotels for cab fares. Safety certify the stretch limousines. That way you won't read in the paper about a chauffeur buying prom kids or booze, reading about a DUI in which the chauffeur was picked up driving a 10-passenger stretch Hummer and got a DUI, or the recent K2 coin article that came out over the weekend. The code does not ask to regulate the limos to make but to make the company's drivers and vehicles safety-minded. Pedicabs are a great green form of transportation and must be a fixture in the downtown core. This is what keeps Portland, Portland. Again, we are not regulating, but making safety the number one concern for the general public, separating the wheat from the chaff. 1640 is about accountability. We have to start somewhere to get the final product. There will be more talks, more meetings, more input from the suppliers, more time from us. But there is a purpose and plan. This 1640 is the beginning to a means. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners.
Could you move the mic over, sir?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, I am Butch Miller, driver representative on the City of Portland's Private for Hire Transportation Board of Review. I am a Broadway cab driver. I am here to support the new code changes, and I urge that council strengthen this code by giving the program administrator the ability to remove code violators from the street. Currently, violators have been cited, fined, and have exhausted their appeals process and yet continue to operate in violation of city code, and the program administrator has no means in which to stop them. You, the council members, are the only ones who can give the program administrator the needed enforcement measures, and I urge that you do so. Thank you.
Mayor, councilors, my name is John Putman, and today you have an opportunity to adopt these rules as recommended by the Private Four Board Hire Board of Review. I'd just like to mention that no matter how good a plan or how good a structure or how it's written, there are always problems with any document. But we do believe that this document is ready to move forward. And the reason that it's here is because twice before over the last 10 years that attempt has been made and failed. And so we felt it was timely to get this across the street to you and to give us a chance to move forward with it. Just to tell you a little about me, I've served for over 20 or 25 years on every energy, transportation, housing board in the state of Oregon. Recently, I just did 8 years at TPAC with Metro. And 3 years ago, when asked to take the board appointment to the seat representing people with disability and seniors, which hadn't been filled for a few years, I took that, and then within 90 days, I began to wonder if we would ever even get anything going. However, after a few people came and went, Sue got quite involved, Frank DeFeo came on board, and with Patrick Kramer's help, and Shane has done a tremendous job, we're here today to give you the opportunity to let us move forward. I think it's important to possibly tell you a couple things that happened over the last year that might be of interest. And that is, inside our rules, we already have the flexibility during the gas crunch to raise or to add a surcharge to, say, taxi fares. And we did that. We did that twice during the gas crunch. We also, as the gas crunch went down, we removed those surcharges. And I think that's an important thing that the public should know, and you should know, that we operated as a board pretty efficiently during that period of time, used the things that were at our hand to facilitate the businesses, the taxi drivers, to make a living. And also, when the rates went back, we removed it so that the citizens got a better deal. So in that sense, things have worked fairly well. The pickup and drop-off thing inside and outside the city is a definite issue, and that has to be resolved. And I tried for a number of years to convince Metro that it's partly their problem, and they need to get involved because it's a three-county region. And really, the city is the only city that actually regulates. So there's a lot to be done there to get some cross-pollination, I guess. 3 weeks ago, Ramon reminded me, Corona, who'd been on this committee for 10 years of the two times before they tried to move it across the street and had failed. And so I think that it was only right that we bring this document across to you today, and we hope that you will reward us with our hard work and send us back to finish it up and bring it back to you in a completed form. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Question for Butch. So it's Butch, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the code section here, and it does list a number of instances where suspension or revocation is a consequence, mm-hmm. ultimate consequence. So I guess I'm.
Yeah, but even
what are you getting at? I guess
even when you revoke their permits, they're still down there on the street operating. They're paying off the dorm of the hotel. The program administrator has no revocation or no ability to tow the car to remove this guy from the street. You know, he's still there working.
So that's what you're talking about.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, there is a guy who has his permit revoked, his driver's permit, and he is down at a downtown hotel, and he continues to operate. And we need something in there that says, hey, if you operate like this and we've revoked your permit, then we can put a tow tag on you, we can tow you, and then let him work from there, and the city operate.
Okay. And the purpose of my amendment is along those lines. The experience I had is that the hotels themselves became part of a culture wherein some of these doormen actually were given gratuities from the limousine drivers to steer customers to limousines versus cabs inappropriately. And the purpose of my amendment is to hold the hotel accountable for that on the theory that it won't last for long if it's actually the hotel that's being fined over the
Well, it's still going on. And Commissioner Leonard, you were the last commissioner that ever attended one of our drivers' meetings.
I enjoyed them. They were a lot of fun.
If I could just make a clarification, when you say limousines, sometimes limousines can mean...
I should have said town cars.
Please, that's what I wanted to say. Because the majority of the infractions are the executive sedan drivers
executive
who are not permitted.
The amendment reads, it allows a guest to obtain limousine or executive sedan transportation services.
They're the major
fractures. Yeah. I apologize. Thanks. Thank you all for what you do. I appreciate it. Carla, can you call? With more panel. Okay.
Greg Weber and Steve Entler, and I've just been informed that Casey Martell from the pedicab company was just in an accident on his way here. He's all right, but he won't be...
Welcome. Hello. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. First, I'm Greg Weber with All American Limousine. I think I'm here to say that we are all in agreement that we need to enforce some safety issues and get some regulations in place for that. I think there's a lot more to all of this than just picking up and dropping off with the hotels, because the limousines really, I mean, I can't speak for all of them, but I know my company's not doing that. I know a lot of companies that I know personally are not doing that. So I think that there should be some separation there as far as that goes. We are also wanting to weed out some of the illegitimate companies that are practicing illegal practices and causing some problems with the others. So we're in agreement with that, but I do feel that there is some more work that needs to be done and some fine-tuning on some of the regulations and the laws. So thank you.
Great, thanks. Good afternoon, City Commissioners. My name is Steve Entler. I'm the General Manager at Radio Cab. The City of Portland's taxi code contained within the Chapter 1640 has served as the taxi industry's operating rules and general business guidelines for many years. For the past 15 or 20 of those years, these rules and regulations have been gradually expanded to incorporate other types of private-for-hire transportation groups. In so doing, however, the code has become fragmented and somewhat cumbersome to interpret. The Revenue Bureau, which is charged with interpreting and enforcing the various parts of this code, has been handicapped by some of the very language contained within it. When the private-for-hire superintendent has utilized the existing code to take enforcement action, he has later found it difficult to defend his actions, and it was when it was subsequently appealed to the code hearings officer. There have been several attempts over the years to rewrite the existing code. These attempts have all failed. They have failed because they became mired in controversy by the various interests that they intended to serve. Every taxi company, every executive car company, every shuttle company, every SAT company has had conflicting business interests. There have always been arguments over the boundaries of the separate the various types of service. And it is likely that there will always be at least some controversy. Some of the attempted rewrites were abandoned simply because everyone lost interest. Approximately 7 months ago, though, the Private for Hire Transportation Board of Review set about rewriting the code once again. This time, however, there was a difference. Now, this time, the effort was spearheaded by Sue Coberton, Shane Abma, Frank DeFay, and Patrick Kramer. This time, the effort was given a definite completion date, and this time, every effort was made to make sure that that completion date was met. During the rewrite process, Mr. Abma reviewed the existing code and formatted it in a way that was more easily interpreted and hopefully later enforced. Not only did he reduce some of the existing regulations for taxi cabs, SATs, shuttles, and executive cars, he also brought in new regulations for limousines and pedicabs. The process has not been easy. There were a lot of arguments about the proposed regulations by all segments of the industry, and a lot of roadblocks were put in the way by various interested parties. I was undoubtedly one of the largest of those roadblocks. Mr. Adama and I argued back and forth numerous times during the course of this endeavor. I, of course, realized the importance of getting it right the first time, as the livelihoods of more than 500 people at Radio Cab could be jeopardized by a code that contained too many loopholes. These kinds of things had happened in the past, and I was determined to make sure that it didn't happen again. Mr. Abman and I eventually worked through our differences, and I believe in the end I was fairly accommodated. Although the proposed code, as it is written, will probably not satisfy everybody 100%, including myself, it is undeniably pretty darn close. Sue, Shane, Frank, and Patrick should all be applauded for their tenacity displayed in bringing forth this completed project, or partially completed project, and I urge council to give it a favorable vote.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Any more panel? That's it. Do we have a sign-up sheet?
And 25 people signed up.
25 people. So we're going to ask if you could confine your remarks to 2 minutes. And as Mayor Adams likes to say, if you can say it in three, we found that you can probably say it just as well in two. So,
Randy, if I could also just note that if multiple people have a similar theme, it's sometimes people opt for sort of associate themselves with others rather than repeating. I mean, we are very attentive, and if there are some themes that come up over and over again, you're free to perhaps even pull some time.
Although I've heard that suggested a number of times, I've never actually seen anybody take advantage of that.
Hope springs eternal.
First three, come on up, are Rachel Rainbow Darby, Benjamin Edwards, and Dylan Bergeson, sorry, thank you. And they'll be followed by Sarah Galley, Ryan Hosh-Huggin, I believe it is, and Ray Miles.
Thank you all for coming. You have 3 minutes. Just state your first names. First and last names, I'm sorry.
Hi,
and you have 2 minutes. I'm confused.
Okay.
Get this straight.
Are we ready? Here. Hi, I'm Rachel Rainbow Creighton. I'm a writer and manager with Cascadia Pedicabs. I just want to take a minute to thank you guys for hearing us out and letting us have the opportunity to speak to you today on a matter of great importance to many of our local entrepreneurs. I first began riding a pedicab back in March, and since then I've been looking forward to seeing pedicabs included in the transportation codes and regulations for the city. I feel it's important to set industry standards for safety, and I doubt that you'll find any charioteers here that disagree with me on that. Our main concern is to keep our drivers and passengers safe while riding on the city streets, and to this end, I feel it's important to continue the conversation that we feel has only really just begun. I understand that the Revenue Board has been working on this revision for some time, and I understand that they're most anxious to move forward on it. I also understand their attempt to simplify the last-minute addition of pedicabs to this code by placing all of non-taxis under one umbrella. I understand the attempt, but it doesn't seem to work to simplify anything. Instead, by lumping pedal-powered tricycles with all other gas-powered transportation for hire, the board seems to have ended up creating a document riddled with contradictions and open to future interpretations, which does concern me. I hope the council sees fit to either send this code revision back to the board for completion or to pass it without the pedicab sections. I hope to have a chance to continue talks with Revenue, BTA, and other local pedicab companies to develop pedicab-specific code and approve training courses. Thank you again for the opportunity. Turn it over to Ben.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Edwards. I ride a pedicab with Cascadia, and I thank you for this chance to voice my opinion. I will be directly and adversely affected by this particular, the passing of this legislation. And you know, as Rainbow said, I'm not against regulation in any by any means. Safety is my primary concern, but I feel that we need to be regulated pertinently, more specifically to pedicabs. I understand that this particular bill has been in the works for some 2 years with the very recent addition of pedicabs, and it seems a bit rushed. In Section 030, Definition S, pedicabs have been designated as LPT vehicles in the company of limousines and shuttles. We are no doubt the three-legged black sheep in a field dominated by horsepower. A testament to this, our inclusion in the clearly autocentric bill can be found in the glaring contradictions of sections 080, which is on pages 8 and 9, in which pedicabbies are required to obtain pedicab-specific permits, and then in 090, in which all of LVT, pedicabs included, are required to have DMV-issued motor vehicle licenses to operate our non-motorized emission-free tricycles, in addition to 2 years of driving experience. Section 380 requires us to carry fire extinguishers on board. 0901A requires out-of-staters to furnish 10 years worth of driving records to evaluate my abilities as a tricycle operator. At this time, it is necessary to reiterate that we pedicabbies do not operate motor vehicles. We ride tricycles. And in my experience, Portland is one of the most progressively bike-friendly cities in the country. All that I ask is that you continue with the cyclist-conscious legislation for which Portland is known, and set a precedent for all other major U.S. cities. Thank you.
So I have a question. Given that we don't license bicyclists, how else would we make sure that people know what they're doing as far as the rules of the road?
If council doesn't mind if I answer that, we actually had a meeting yesterday with Frank Dufay and the BTA, and we are working on getting a city-approved training course. We already have a training course that we run. We've been inviting them to come and audit our training class. We'd like to work with them on creating, you know, actual training that's approved by the city where we could license our drivers independently.
Pedicab specific license.
Great. Thank you.
Ready? My name is Dylan Bergeson. I am also a pedicab driver with Cascadia. I would like to reiterate that I thank you for the opportunity to have this discussion and that there needs to be more communication between pedicab drivers, owners, and the city before any legislation targeting us is enacted. All of us here believe that it is important to develop responsible and logical regulations for pedicabs. Unfortunately, the ordinance that you are voting on would hinder this common goal because it uses language that leaves many important directives to the interpretation of entities that have zero accountability to us, zero knowledge of our business, and most importantly, zero accountability to the city, as the proposed code does not require them to obtain your approval for any decisions made later, which I will specify in a minute. This would put the Revenue Bureau and PFH Transportation Review Boards in effective legislative roles for which they were not designed. Four of the six pedicab specific directives are problematic for this reason. This is on the ordinance that should be in front of you. D1 calls for the implementation of appropriate insurance requirements, but does not specify what those requirements would be. D2 calls to determine future driver safety and customer service training to be approved later. D3 calls to determine brake requirements, if any, again, with no specific knowledge of how brakes work on a pedicab. That's reflective of the fact that we haven't been consulted at any point very clearly. D4 calls to determine an approved safety inspection process, but doesn't propose what a process should look like. This ordinance, as it is written, is not just blank check legislation. It is a blank check list to be filled in later by organizations that have previously not engaged us in any manner of transparent communication. Our companies have the expertise to help you correct the ambiguities of this proposal, and we look forward to working hand in hand with you to help create legislation that works, that will ensure maximum public safety, while also supporting the ability of our business to thrive. So please vote no on this ordinance as it is written next week so that we can continue this process together. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're not gonna do that. We don't have outbursts in council chambers, unless it's one of us. Next three, please.
Thank you.
Next three are Sarah Galley, Ryan Hoshhagen, and Ray Miles. And they'll be followed by Gordon Ross, Carl N. Johnson, and I believe it's Olivia Johnson.
Thank you. You each have 2 minutes if you state your first and last names.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Sarah Galley, and I'm a driver with Cascadia Cabs. I wanted to thank you for your time today. And I'd like to take this moment to talk about some ideas that we have about implementing new pedicab regulations. We're obviously concerned about all of the auto-centric language in the ordinance. Because we are human-powered vehicles, our safety concerns differ greatly than those of automobiles. For example, we cannot break the speed limit, We do not have combustion-fed motors, and we do not generate carbon monoxide emissions. As cyclists providing a service to the public, our company training is tailored to bike-specific safety. We have to be equipped with bike-specific clothing and gear, and we need mechanics who have bike-specific skills. We also need a bike-specific ordinance to regulate pedicabs, ensuring safe practices and good business. I would like to ask the council on behalf of the pedicab drivers to take us out of the current private for hire transportation regulation and to create a task force of people who are willing to learn what it takes to be a safe and efficient pedicab driver. Who will teach them? Only the most experienced and well-versed in pedicab operations and safety, us, the pedicab drivers. Not only are we willing to work closely with said task force to create clear and concise safety regulations, we would also find it greatly beneficial to have representation within the Board of Revenue with the Pedicab Drivers Standing Committee, which we have already composed, and a pedicab driver representing us on the Private for Hire Transportation Review Board. We're very grateful for our position as pedicab drivers and the opportunity to participate in the formation of a bike-friendly transportation ordinance that will support the vitality of our livelihoods and the health of our community, and I look forward to continuing this conversation with you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, commissioners and mayor. My name is Ryan Hashigan. I own and operate Portland Cascadia Pedicabs. We operate currently 35 insured pedicabs in the city of Portland. Our shop is located at 345 Northwest Everett Street in the heart of Chinatown. Thank you for this opportunity to make public comment on this revised code that will greatly affect my livelihood and the livelihood of many other pedicab drivers. I personally want safety standards and accountability between the city, the pedicab companies, and pedicab drivers. I personally know the serious responsibility a pedicab driver must possess while operating in vehicular traffic. Unfortunately, this ordinance and revised code are unfinished, incomplete documents. Pedicabs have been included at the last minute as last minute legislation. The key pedicab stakeholders were invited to speak with Revenue at the 11th hour. This crucial first and only direct meeting that we have had with Revenue as pedicab stakeholders only occurred yesterday after this code has been put before council. As a result, this code is truly uninformed and contradictory in its regards to pedicabs. You heard about the contradictions between the LPT definition and the definitions of pedicabs. This code treats pedicabs as automobiles and lumps us in the same category as town cars, limousines, shuttles, and SATs. This definition and others within this code compose this confusing, contradictory code that sits in front of you. I would like to propose that this issue can be easily dealt with. We establish a task force of pedicab stakeholders and develop a pedicab-specific code. We have different needs than automobiles. We need to transcend auto-centric transportation policy. In closing, I'd like to say that we are extremely open to building a relationship with the city. We have a great relationship with the Police Bureau and with the Transportation Bureau. Also, we think that this is an opportunity to craft code that will be precedent. We have headquartered our business here in Portland because of the pedestrian infrastructure that the city of Portland has created. Our business thrives because of the infrastructures and policies in place. Thank you. We look forward to working with the city of Portland.
Thank you. Ray?
Good afternoon. I'm Ray Miles with Broadway Cab and Sassy's Cab Companies. I do want to compliment city staff. This has been a challenging process. We have sort of started it and aborted it many times over the last years. And it, as always the case, it seems like we'll meet for months and months and months, and then at the 11th hour, other interested parties and stakeholders come into the process. And I think this has been particularly true this time because they are regulating two new industries in the pedicabs and the limousines. But I believe the city was responsive to concerns and has done everything they can to be inclusive. So I think the end product is good. I don't think it's perfect, certainly. You know, I went through and have disagreed with segments of it and did not get my way. I think specifically with the town car companies is an ongoing concern. They continue to poach taxi fares out of downtown. The fact of the matter is, if you walk out of the airport and they have signage there that educates travelers on town cars and taxis and what their fares are, at the airport, people, travelers choose taxis over town cars 35-1. And if you stand outside a hotel, you'll see almost the exact opposite is true there. And so I support anything that would allow for more penalties to those companies that routinely and habitually violate, including impounding the vehicle or booting the vehicle or something. I also support the idea that the employees involved in this should be penalized. These employees are violating city regulations for personal gain, and it wouldn't be tolerated in any other format, I don't think. So it is a little ironic that we always end up talking about business travelers and these hotel airport fares and stuff when really at the heart of this regulation is public safety, and it is protecting not those trips but grocery trips and medical trips and all these other things that never quite even make it onto the table for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I had a question for, is it Ryan?
Yes.
Ryan. So your concerns, you know, I'm asking you to speak on behalf of the pedicabs. Your concerns aren't about the money, about the cost for a permit and the renewal of a permit. These concerns transcend that simple fact.
For sure. Our concern is mostly definitions, the language of the document, and the lack of consultation that occurred in crafting this document.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Salzman.
Carla?
The next three are Gordon Ross, Carl Johnson, and Olivia Johnson, I believe it is.
Olivia?
My name's Oliver.
Oh, Oliver.
Oliver.
Sorry.
Johnson, come on up.
Sorry. Okay.
Thanks,
okay.
He just signed the paper, was out there. So.
And did you call it next? Good job. Eric Newland, come on up. Thank you. And they'll be followed by Karen McClintock, Ron McClintock, and Eric Benson.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Gordon Ross. I represent English Classic Limousine, a limousine service here in Portland. Been in the industry 16 years here in Portland and owner of the company for 10. I oppose the regulation as it's written now. I think it's flawed. Certain industries have not been included in the process until the last 60 days is when some companies were notified. There are still companies out there that have not been notified. This is definitely a state or regional issue versus a city issue. Everybody needs to be on the same page within the state of Oregon for the safety in our vehicles, not just the city of Portland vehicles. We don't have any representation on this board. We've been allowed to come to some work sessions in the last 60 days, but we don't have any representation on the board as far as limousines are concerned. The board has made it very clear that they've separated out town cars, taxis, and limousines, but we don't have representation up there yet. There's a demand study that's supposed to be coming across. From the facts we've heard of from so far, limousine companies aren't even being discussed in that. No one's contacted the individual limousine companies to discuss this demand study, which this ordinance is based around. So I don't think it's accurate. It's based on assumptions, not facts. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Carl Johnson. I'm the owner of Interstate Limousine. It's a Washington-based company. We do business in Vancouver, Hillsboro, anywhere probably within a 50-mile radius outside the city of Portland. And, you know, we haven't there's not a Washington company that has an airport permit or a proxy card. So I'm just kind of confused on why the city of Portland all of a sudden would want to include us in their limousine proposal and regulate us. We have our own, health and welfare inspections as you have it. And I think the safety is a big issue, like Gordon brought up, but it's not just about having safe limousines in the city of Portland. There's Gresham, Beaverton, Hillsboro, and if this were done at a state level, you know, I've talked to Mr. DeFay a few times, and he's from New York City, and we can't really pattern Portland after New York City. Somewhere in between New York City and Bozeman, Montana. So some of the cities they've done their studies from, Memphis, Tennessee, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Denver, those would be cities to look at that were geographically similar to Portland. As far as, you know, representation, we had a speaker talk about how he was part of the Limousine Association. He has no affiliation with limousines. Limousines don't even really affiliate with hotels because The size of a trunk on a limousine is the same size of that of a town car. So you wouldn't really pick up eight people from a hotel with 16 pieces of luggage in a limousine. There would be no room for the luggage. Most of our business in Portland is taking people to and from dinner and to sporting events. But so it's just a misconception of what limousines really are. There's parking permits for emergency vehicles, taxi cabs. There's no places for buses. And the whole thing is, well, let's just pass it and we'll figure it all out later. And what we would like to have done is to have all the I's dotted and T's crossed and come back with a finished product. And this isn't about rewarding anybody for their labors. This is about doing it right.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Eric. I run a wedding video company called Hybrid Moon, and in the process I have purchased a 1947 Rolls-Royce Silver Wraith to take photos with the couple, provide destination from maybe St. Mary's Cathedral to the Hilton. And I'm really, it's kind of an awkward situation I'm in to be wrapped up with this group here of the private for hire. Primarily, I find, because that I have no representation on the board. If you look at the number of classic cars in Portland that provide this service, you could probably put them on your hand. There's probably like five cars that provide, you know, classic Bentleys, classic Rolls-Royce. And there's some issues within the writing of the code that, you know, needs to, I would say, need to separate it. Or, you know, like when you go to the state of Oregon with your classic vehicle, there are some... some exemptions. I would like to see some exemptions within the code right now, because right now it would be a burden for a small company like me with one vehicle to, you know, with the taxes that they're asking for me to pull. I just wish it would be, if you guys are going to vote on this, that you look at a complete code right, and I think it may be very premature right now to move forward with that. So. One other last thing, too, is that my classic car has very low miles. I mean, my typical round trip is like 5 to 6 miles within the Portland, you know, metro area. So it's not really used that often. And, you know, if you could do something where it's like, based upon mileage or something like that. But it's not like these stretch limousines that are out for proms and this and that. I mean, my vehicle is primarily a photo opportunity for a couple for their wedding day.
I have a question. So... your concern is mostly with the fees?
Fees, number one, and number two, just the definitions of what is a classic vehicle, and, you know, why am I being, you know, with this old classic car being roped in with a limousine? I mean, it's a totally different service.
You would have an appointment for the couple to take them to the Hilton and pick them up again, yeah, so absolutely. That part wouldn't affect you.
I get booked 6 months to a year
right.
in advance.
So that, I understand. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank
Carla.
You.
Next three are Karen McClintock, Ron McClintock, and Eric Benson. Okay, thank you. Let's go ahead with Patrick Martin. And they'll be followed by Jean Ritz, Michael James, and Jonathan Magnus.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes. Please give your first and last names.
My name is Eric Benson. I'm the owner of InStyle Limousine. This proposed document that's been brought to you is riddled with, I mean, from pedicabs, town cars, limousines, with not very much clarification. I've talked with DeFay. I've talked with many people. A limousine really needs to be categorized separately from a town car to get some clarity in this. A limousine also needs to be clarified, because I talked to a few of the board members afterwards about this driver safety. 90% of my vehicles are above 14 passengers, and they say, well, you're exempt from that. I have a vehicle to hold a limousine. What public would see as a limousine, because it's a stretch Hummer, it holds up to 25 people. I'm required by the state of Oregon to have a commercial driver's license to drive that. And I said, well, your driver's safety, that's just free money, because what you're saying is DMV didn't do their job. And he said, well, we're not worried about the cars that are, you know, CDL regulated. But the city of Portland, as I'm driving around downtown, to the general layman, you know, that they appear as a limousine. So this whole thing really is riddled with confusion on what is what. Limousines and town cars have been lumped together in every other sentence in the thing, and there is a huge difference. We are not a point-to-point service. We're an hourly rate. We rent a limousine. Sometimes we don't even go into downtown, and they're saying that if we drop off, we can't pick up. The clarification is totally different. I would just like to see it written with a lot more clarity so there's a lot more understanding on what you're voting on. You're voting on an incomplete document, and I want to make sure it's clear. You know, we aren't being hassled for vehicles that are out of the description, but to the general person, it is in the description. I want tests done. I would like to see not tests done, town car versus limousine, because we in it, it is kind of lumped together, and they aren't on the same page. And so we're voting on something we really are uneducated on, you know, as the general board. And I would like to see that, you know, some clarification so we all know what we're here for.
Thank you.
Thank you. One question, if I could, Mr. President. On the stretched vehicles that you have, which I don't know whether it's your company or others, but I noticed with high school students seem to be popular for prom events and other things. The ones that have a sunroof, mm-hmm. so that people can stand, are there currently rules either under
the police enforce it? I know my company, what we enforce is all limousines have a control board, and we, especially proms, I mean, but we have ours locked down or the breaker pulled where you can't open the sunroof. We have another one that in the extra long ones that are CDL, they're built to bus safety standards. There is what appears to be a sunroof, but it's actually an emergency safety exit in case something happens. But yes, the police say it's illegal. My company, we take away the power to open it.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Sir? Patrick Martin, Chariot Limousine. I've owned and operated my limousine company for 11 years now. First of all, I'd like to commend the board for a job that they've done. I am not against regulation. I just feel that before council considers it, it should be a completed, again, to voice someone else, reiterate someone else's opinion. It should be, I should be dotted and the T's should be crossed. And I think there's a lot of open-end issues that need to be addressed. There are some renegade companies in the industry, but those are slim. Just like any industry, you're going to have your bad apples, so to speak. I believe most of us operate with the highest of integrity, being a limousine company. That's what the customer expects, and we should not be lumped together with the taxi cabs, the pedicabs, and the town car service. I also wish to see that we would have some representation on the board that's going to be developing code for the industry if we are going to be regulated. At this point in time, to my knowledge, we have no representation from the limousine operator. That's basically what I have to say.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Could you just give me an example of the I's that need dotting or the T's that need crossing? I'm not understanding what it is that you're concerned about.
Okay. Well, we've heard somebody from Washington say that they're from Washington. Why should they have to, you know, be governed by the city of Portland? I'm from Oregon City, Canberra area. I don't do a lot. Some of my business isn't in Portland. Why should I? That's just one instance. How are they going to implement this? Again, I'd like to have some say, or at least have someone in our industry represented, on the board represent our industry.
Thanks. There is a designated person from the limousine industry.
I realize that, but I don't believe that he owns limousines, so that's okay. A concern of mine.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's clear. Thank you.
That's where the limousine's in that.
Ron McClintock, Northwest Limousine. I actually see both sides of this as far as I do town car service as well as limousine service, so I'm partially involved in the code already. One of the things that I'm concerned about is that, and I agree with safety and in the way we do it, what are we going to do to make that happen and all that stuff. I think there's an underlying issue here that